I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
I got to catch a glimpse of these warlocks. Let's make a move.
She's going around the corner.
Come on.
It's time for Dirt and Sprague.
True love is hard to find. Sometimes you think you have true love, and then you catch the early flight home from San Diego, and a couple of nude people jump out of your bathroom blindfolded.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
We should mate.
What?
Date. I said we should date sometime. You know, socially. Go out
and
kick it.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
You're pretty sick, Chubbs.
The Fan.
All right, let's do this thing. Final hour, Dirt and Sprague, live out at Pumpkin Ridge for the Winco Foods Portland Open. Having a great time, beautiful weather out here. Isaac Ropp's out walking around, watching a little golf before his show's coming up here at the top of the hour. We will be out here again tomorrow night. It's a great event, a great way to come out and watch some golf. And we talked to Jeff Sanders, who puts this tournament on. He's kind of the mastermind, if you will, behind this whole thing. And it sounds like the attendance numbers are through the roof this year. So he wanted us to pass along that if you are interested, he suggested trying to get tickets rather early because the attendance numbers should be setting some records.
It's a fun event. It's a PGA Tour event. You got guys vying for the card. It's fantastic. A lot of the names, if you follow this at all, you can recognize in the PGA Tour the following year. That's kind of what it's done for me. When we've been here for 3 years now. Some of the Tony Finaus, he's out there in the PGA. He's had a really good career since he bumped up and got his card. Guys like that, you hear them here, and then they stand out a year later. That's the cool part about the tournament. It's also nice to be out at Pumpkin Ridge, which is one of the best golf courses, I think, in the state. You're on the private side, get to watch them warm up on the putting green right here. They'll stop, they'll high fives, handshakes, autographs, etc. It's just a real intimate, laid-back, fun golf tournament to be at.
It really is. So we'll be out here today. Isaac coming up at the top of the hour. He'll be out here from 3 to 7. And then, of course, tomorrow, Swag and I will be out here. Dusty and Cam will be out here bright and early in the morning as well. So proud to be a partner here of the Winco Foods Portland Open. We'll Sprague the Line coming up at the bottom of the hour. Actually have some football games to gamble on today, so that'll be fun coming up here at 2:30. But let's talk about the Pac-12 North. A couple of storylines that are coming out of that division that have a chance to really affect the race and who ultimately ends up representing the North in the Pac-12 championship game. And we'll start up in Pullman, where senior starting defensive back for Washington State, Shalom Lanai.
I think it's Luani.
Luani.
If I'm not mistaken.
Close enough. I'll take that. He is a senior starting DB for the Cougars. He was arrested and charged with assault early on Wednesday morning after allegedly breaking a man's nose. Apparently, he was at a Domino's Pizza branch on College Hill at about 1:40 in the morning. He got verbally abusive because he thought his pizza order was taking too long. Police commander said he was extremely frustrated about the long wait, verbally cussing and screaming about the pizza taking so long. And some folks asked that he would leave because he was being obnoxious. He then took it another step and apparently broke a man's nose. So this is a guy who's had a lot of success, played a lot of big minutes for the Cougars football team last year. And you got an assault charge like this coming, it's hard to imagine there's not a suspension that will soon be on the heels. And that's going to be a big blow to what a lot of people have said is an improved Washington State defense.
Well, how ironic is this? You go to the Spokesman Review website over there, and their first story on the Cougar page, WSU position preview. Cougars finally have reason to celebrate their secondary. The following story, WSU safety Shalom Luani arrested for felony assault.
Yeah.
Womp womp. Like, yeah. It's just bad timing for those riders. But
terrible timing.
You read the story about this. I don't know about the assault part, but I think a lot of college kids have been drunk, high, out really late, and they've been complaining about food before.
Speak for yourself. I went to bed at 9:30.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. You were quite an angel in college from what I gather. So it's not like this is the obscure part. It's just you got to know how to handle yourself when you're in this position. This is the second leading tackler on this team. You date back to everybody on the team last year. Their leading tackler, I think, was second, and he's gone. The second leading tackle, I should say, he's left. And then the top and then the third are both back. Luani's the third guy. So he was the second leading tackler coming back. You lose him, and we don't know the amount of games yet, but if you lose him for any instrumental Pac-12 games, looking at the Cougars going from a 9-win season, in my opinion, based on his impact, to maybe losing a game or two based on him not being there and what he was able to provide for that team, which is why I think when you do the suspensions, this is going to sound messed up, but this is what college football has been about. These programs that when they have a guy like him get in trouble, they tend to know when to suspend him and when not to.
A la the Oregon game is in week 5.
And I would not be surprised if you see Luani have to serve a suspension at the start of the non-conference and he misses a game like Portland State.
Yep. So Washington State Associate Director of Athletics Bill Stevens came out with a statement. He said they will continue to cooperate with law enforcement. But outside of that, we will keep it a team matter at this time. Of course, this is the second time now that there's been a little bit of a scandal around the program. The first one was back in July. If you remember, a fight broke out between football players and some Washington State students at a house party. Some of the athletes allegedly broke one student's nose, gave another one a concussion, but no charges were filed in the case, but it is still under investigation.
Well, that video was grainy, though, too.
It was hard to kind of decipher exactly what was happening. Yeah, so no charges were filed on that one, but I would be surprised if something doesn't come from this case. So potential suspension coming to a key figure of the Washington State defense. The other Pac-12 North storyline that came out yesterday, and you tweeted about this, Sprague, and I tend to agree with you. I was pretty surprised when this was officially announced, and Stanford is one of those programs a lot of people just think they roll over. It's David Shaw. Quarterback doesn't matter. They got Christian McCaffrey. They're still going to be a top 15 team. But I've wondered about the quarterback position. You are replacing a guy in Kevin Hogan who was a 4-year starter. And in awaiting this news, I just figured at some point Keller Chris was going to be the guy. He was ultimately going to turn out to be the starter for Stanford. But David Shaw went a different direction. He announced yesterday that Ryan Burns will be the starting quarterback for Stanford in their season opening game. He beat out the sophomore Keller Chris in the competition, and that's going to be the pecking order for week one. David Shaw did say Chris will play against Kansas State in their season opening game, just not in the starting role. The quote from David Shaw was, "There hasn't been a huge separation. Ryan's been barely enough ahead to get the nod. Keller will get his section of the game plan and play quarterback, not just run the ball." So it sounds like they're both still competing, but Ryan Burns will start in week one.
Yeah, I saw this from John Wilner in the Bay Area, and I quote tweeted, it's a little bit of surprise for people that had heard all this hype about Keller Chris. And he actually responded and said, "Don't think that hype came from anyone who watched the Stanford spring game and watched Burns outplay Chris in it." Look, I didn't watch the Stanford spring game, so I had no idea. My opinion based on this.
You didn't watch the Stanford spring game?
How outrageous.
Do your
job.
It's
so egregious. So I didn't know. It was just based on everything I had heard/read.
No, and I was with you. Chris was the bigger name.
Yeah, he was. But I think Stanford's going to be A-okay here because they got the experience. A guy who's a little older, the redshirt junior kid, Burns, over the redshirt sophomore. And then also, David Shaw is not immune to playing two quarterbacks. I mean, this isn't, for a lot of programs and head coaches, that's dangerous territory. When you put out a guy 1 week, throw him out the next, and then put out a different guy the third, David Shaw's done this before. He's had to play musical chairs with quarterbacks when he lost Andrew Luck. He wouldn't be immune to doing something like that if they were in that position. But based on the competition, it sounds like it's really close. But it really is Burns' job to lose. It's not going to just be, you're starting this week, he starts next week. Based on the comments that were in the article that I read yesterday, it really is Burns' job. If he goes out there and plays poorly in a half, don't be shocked at all to see Keller Chris go out there and maybe be able to win the starting gig.
Yeah, and this is it's a kind of a change in directions because even going back to last season, Chris was the one that was the backup. He backed up Kevin Hogan, and Burns was the third stringer. And
that's why people assumed Chris was the next
one. I mean, it's just kind of the pecking order would stay the same. Burns came out with a quote and said, "It was tough being where I was last year. That drove me." And he had a good spring game, as you mentioned there. John Wilner said that. He had a good spring game. And he said, David Shaw came out and said, "The biggest thing was his comfort level with everything we've asked him to do. Keller was the backup last year based on how he practiced, and Ryan is the starter based on how he practiced." And I think you can view this one of two ways. I mean, first, you could say, well, it's not a great sign for Stanford that either of these guys stood out and is the clear-cut starting quarterback, because that's kind of what you want. I am 100% opposed to playing two guys. There's just not many examples over the history of football you can point to and say a dual quarterback system has worked. It just usually doesn't, and I think the quarterback needs to be a leader of a football team. So they at some point need to get this figured out. But if you want to take it that way, you could say it's not good because neither guy stepped up and played well enough to win the job. Or you could take it the other way and say, look, both these guys are capable of playing. Both of them had good springs and good fall camps, and that's why it's so difficult to choose one.
Yeah, I just think back to the – remember the game Stanford lost to UW a few years back in Sarkisian? It was a night game. And that season, there was that kid who knew German. What was his name?
I know who you're talking about.
He had
about,
a game day piece on him, and it was like, oh, he knows German, and he's a really smart quarterback.
Yeah.
And then he lost the gig like 2 weeks later, and Kevin Hogan emerged and became kind of the program guy for two or 3 years. David Shaw is not immune to this, and he knows exactly what he's doing. If there's any coach that I trust with quarterback play and maybe juggling two guys who are really close in competition, it's David Shaw. He's been through it before. They've sustained. They've been right there at the top of the conference. It's going to be no different, in my opinion, this year.
Yeah, so a couple of notes out of the Pac-12 North. As a Washington State safety was arrested for assault late Wednesday night, punched a guy in the nose at a Domino's Pizza at 1:40 in the morning. And Ryan Burns, down in the Bay Area, he was named the starting quarterback for Stanford. A bit of a surprise for some folks over Keller Chris. So a couple of notes out of the Pac-12 North. Don't forget, we're doing Sprague in the Line coming up here at the bottom of the hour. Get those fake sponsors ready. We'll have some fun. Sprague's going to be out tomorrow. So we got to get those gambling notes in here coming up at 2:30. But I want to stick in the Pac-12 North and talk about another quarterback battle that we might have an answer to here at some point in the near future. We'll tell you who that is and what it is next on 1080 The Fan. Yes, please. 218, welcome back in. This is good golf music. I think this fits a little bit.
Really?
A little subdued, you know? Nice and relaxed.
If we're doing golf music, we'd play nothing. You're not allowed to. Course etiquette, Dirt.
We're live out here at the Winco Foods Portland Open, Pumpkin Ridge.
Tell me those two changes, though, to golf would not make it a little better.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you. That's one of my favorite tournaments to watch every year is the Waste Management. I got one of my buddies, Scott, goes down. Makes it kind of an annual tradition to go down every year.
Yeah, I talked to him one time about that.
Yeah, we golfed with him a couple weeks ago.
I don't remember that day.
I think that day got a little sideways for him. One of the days he woke up, because if you want to go, if you don't know the Waste Management, they have the stadium hole. What is it, 16? Swigart, I want to say the par three.
Yes. 16.
Yeah. So 16.
Swag was taking a dump.
I thought he just left,
God,
man. He left to go to the...
It's his birthday. He does what he wants.
That's a bad time to ask him a question. Yeah, so 60. But you got to get there early. And there's just stands that kind of line the entire course. So he gets there about 5 a.m. And, of course, I mean, you got to get the day started at that point. But I'm with you. I think some cheering, some noise, some intensity, if you will, during the round of play would be good.
I've just never had anybody that's close to the game of golf, or a golfer included, tell me that the Winco, not the Winco Food Portland Open, but the Waste Management. You can't tell me that that's not one of the better non-major events of the year. You add a little booze, trash talking.
It's kind of a launching point for the golf season.
I just always felt it's a little unfair. I know there's a lot of pressure in golf that necessarily you don't get in other sports, but look, it's trash talk. Every other athlete has to deal with it. Why shouldn't golfers?
Yep, I'm with you. Somebody asked if we have any Swamp Butt rejoiner music. I'm sure we can come up with something. It is hot out here at Pumpkin Ridge.
You have a Swamp rap that you play, and I can't remember how it goes.
Oh, the Tony Joe White Swamp rap.
Yeah, Tony Joe White. Yeah. Swag should try to find that. That's the Swamp Butt song.
All right. Yeah, that's in the system. Maybe we can get that here coming up to close out the show. Sprague in the Line in 10 minutes. Already appreciate your fake sponsors coming in.
There's some good ones today.
There's some good ones today. We'll get to those, and Sprague will tell us who we're losing money on here at the bottom of the hour. Did want to talk about the Oregon Duck quarterback battle. That is still ongoing. They held a scrimmage today, which was supposed to be kind of a finality point, if you will, for the fall schedule as they head into the final week of preparation before their first game a week from Saturday down at Autzen Stadium against UC Davis. But I saw this quote following practice today. Mark Helfrich said the coaches will evaluate scrimmage, hold a meeting, and then talk to players and announce the depth chart. So it sounds like this evening we should know what the depth chart is, but still no official word that it is Dakota Prukop starting for the Ducks.
I'll tell you right now, it will be Dakota Prukop starting for the Ducks. I think we've established that the last week or so based on comments and reactions from the players and coaches after practice. I am curious. I really am. what is the remaining depth chart going to be? Are they going to put Herbert number two? Is he really past Travis Johnson?
Yeah.
Or are they worried about losing a Travis Johnson and they redshirt Justin Herbert? Because I think they're going
to
redshirt
that to me.
Kid.
That's the interesting one to follow, and I'm with you, Sprague. And that's why I'm excited to see what it is this evening. And I'm sure Swag and I will talk about it tomorrow once we finally get a look of how things shake out, if you will. But that the backup quarterback race is it's going to give you a good indication of where the program is heading in the future. Because I just continue to hear nothing. But praise for Justin Herbert. Everybody that I've talked to that's had a chance either to see him in practice or media members that we've had on talk about the Ducks fall camp, he's one of those first names that gets brought up. Justin Herbert, Justin Herbert. You won't believe how good he is, not just now, but you add in the potential of what he could become with his size and his strength and his understanding already of the offense. If he wins that number two job, that's huge because, as you're mentioning, he's winning it over a guy who's already been in the program for a year and for a guy that not very long ago, Sprague, we talked about realistically having a chance to start for this team in Travis Johnson. I mean, coming out of spring, that was
the narrative.
Conversation was, is it Prukop, is it Johnson? Johnson had some big explosive plays. He's more athletic. Maybe Prukop does a better job of managing the offense. So if he's able to come in just in fall camp and beat out Travis Johnson, to me that's a great sign about his future, and it kind of gives you an inclination of who the quarterback of the future will be.
You know, the one question I've had too, we haven't heard anything about Terry Wilson.
No, haven't heard much.
Like literally nothing.
He will redshirt this year.
Yeah, and
he'll be four string and redshirt.
You're probably right about that. It's still, I don't know, you haven't heard anything. He's a
true freshman.
Was he a five-star kid?
Four or five-star. Probably not five-star. My guess would be four.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they're gonna redshirt Herbert. I think they're better off doing that just because you don't want to risk. Like, if you're Travis Johnson and they don't redshirt Herbert, he comes out, he's ahead of the depth chart. A lot of people would point to just competition and say, oh, you can't handle competition and earn your spot back. What a coward.
Yeah.
But these kids don't always think that way. They think, oh, great, great. Well, the coaches don't view me this way. I'm going to a program where I know I'll play next season. So I'll be interested to see where the coaching staff goes with that. Mark Helfrich, a lot of people wonder, where's the leeway there? If they have a down season, if they win six games this season and shock a lot of Duck fans who don't think they'll be quite that bad, where's the leeway for him going forward in the future? This guy has to win games now. He wouldn't gamble that, but I do wonder long-term, if you don't want to lose Travis Johnson, do you redshirt Herbert and say, all right, he's done for this season. He'll run scout team.
Right.
We'll bring Johnson along, and we'll see what we got next season, because they won't need a transfer next year.
Yeah, watching how those dominoes fall behind Prukop, and I'm with you. Prukop's going to be the starter. There won't be any surprises there. We should know that at some point this afternoon. Again, Mark Helfrich talked after the scrimmage today and said they just want to watch the film. They're going to sit down with the players first, and then they will officially announce the depth chart, not just at the quarterback position, but all over the field on the offensive and defensive side of the ball. So I'm sure Isaac will have stuff on that if it comes out here later during primetime. And Swag and I will talk about it tomorrow once we get some more information. There were two other notes I want to pass along about the Duck scrimmage today. This one came from Rob Mosley, I saw on Twitter, where he said Mark Helfrich thought the scrimmage overall was subpar. So he assumed that holding out some veterans affected the overall intensity. And one other one from Kristen Rogers down there in the Eugene area. She said she asked Mark Helfrich what he was most worrisome about the Ducks heading into the season. His response was confidence. And he said that's a problem when you have such a young roster.
You know what he'll say after they beat UC Davis by 45 points?
Just win the day.
We played great and our confidence looked great. I'm really happy with what we did today. We just need to get to the point of playing these games already. I mean, go ahead, evaluate your scrimmage and practice, etc. You're not figuring anything out until you watch these guys go against the opposition. The defense coming along, that's always going to be interesting to people. The quarterback depth chart. But confidence, like, what? Where's your confidence shaken? You're playing each other. Go play UC Davis. Go win by 45, and then we'll kind of talk about the Oregon Ducks.
They better be UC Davis by more than 45.
Like, would you care if they won by less than 45? Like, if they won by 42, would you be like, oh, my gosh.
Demand excellence, Sprague. You got to demand excellence of your football
team. The point spread's got to be 38. They had a cover.
Yeah, it's true. I wonder what the spread will be for that game. Has it been announced yet for UC Davis?
I got it up right here. Let me see.
That'll be a fun one to gamble on next weekend for you for Sprague and the line.
Oregon State, by the way, 7.5 right now.
Ooh, that's a tasty line.
That's a very tasty line.
At Minnesota.
I know. Colorado's a 10-point favorite.
You might have to throw some down on Sprague and the line with that today, because we won't Sprague the line again until next Friday. So you're not going to have a chance to gamble on that game.
Oh, you want me to just go out and pick Oregon State without doing any prep, huh?
No, I think you go a week in advance. Show some confidence in your boys.
Washington, this is just a kind of an example. A lot of people have Washington, Oregon around the same place. 22-point favorites against Rutgers at home. Does that seem too low, too high?
You win by four touchdowns? No, that seems about right. Rutgers is a Division I program.
I'm not seeing UC Davis and Oregon on this thing.
Are they too low?
But if we were to base on what we've seen in the past, like when they played like Arkansas State, I think they were 35-point favorites.
Yeah, yeah.
You never go past the 30-plus point barrier.
That sounds about right. So the Ducks had a scrimmage today down in Eugene. We're awaiting word on the depth chart, specifically the quarterback position, how that's going to shake out. Sounds like Prukop will be the guy atop the list, but the question will be who comes in at number two and number three behind him on the depth chart at the quarterback position. Will be fun to watch, and it's going to be a good glimpse kind of into the future of that position for the Oregon Ducks. All right, the fake sponsors are already coming in, so keep them coming. 55305, who is the fake sponsor for Sprague and the Line today? Who are we winning or losing money on this weekend? Sprague and the Line is next.
Sprague and the Line.
Sprague and the Line.
Sprague and the Line.
Sprague and the Line.
Look at us, man. We're just singing all over the place today. What's our group name?
Harmonizing Harmosexuals.
Harmonizing Harmosexuals?
We're going to harm you with how good we are with our singing ability. It's going to hurt. It's going to be so damn good.
Oh, we're so good. It's going to hurt. Welcome back in, folks. 2:33 on a Thursday afternoon live out at the Winco Foods Portland Open here at Pumpkin Ridge. Beautiful, beautiful day. There's a big peanut over there.
What?
Look at there's a peanut mobile.
Oh, yeah. You ever been one of those? Like the hot dog?
It looks like the Oscar Mayer Wiener mobile, but it's a peanut.
Yeah, it's always cool. Like, I remember the first time I passed the Oscar Mayer Wiener mobile. I was
Do you remember the
Seattle.
Oscar Mayer Wiener song?
Yeah.
I wish I was an Oscar Mayer
Wiener. That is truly what I'd like to be.
I was never
an Oscar Mayer Wiener. Because if I were an Oscar Mayer Wiener, everyone would be in love with me.
Look at you. That's a good memory.
Yeah. Well, grew up with a father, you kind of feel the same way. Wish I was an Oscar Mayer Wiener. Those cars are pretty badass, though.
They're
insides
cool, yeah.
of them.
Yeah.
They're like really cool decked out RVs.
All right, let's break the line. We'll close out the show here in about 10 minutes from now. We'll send Sprague off for his Hood to Coast run, which starts tomorrow.
I'm going to die.
Yeah, it's not going to be good. It's going to be dirt and swag moving forward. It's been fun, though. I hope you enjoy the final 26 minutes of your radio career.
So I looked over some of the legs that some people have. Crawford's, my brother-in-law. My brother-in-law has easy, medium, hard.
Yeah.
Mine's very hard, medium, very hard.
Man up.
Crawford's easy, medium, hard.
How does Crawford get an easy leg?
He's got the fastest time,
too. Yeah, he's like a little Prefontaine, even though he's, man.
I'll tell you right now, if I do this next year, I'm taking the easy leg.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. Sprague and the Line, brought to you by Will Darkins. One round auto pick, Le'Veon Bell. Way to go, Will. Sprague and the Line, brought to you by Banana in the Tailpipe. I'm not falling for it again. That's next level. Sprague and the Line, brought to you by the University of Oregon. Even though Sprague is a Beaver, we needed to take the spotlight.
Ouch.
Sprague and the Line, brought to you by the Oregon Lottery. We, too, are only selling entertainment, not intended to make you any money.
All right. I get it.
Sprague and the Line, dang it, where is it? Sprague and the Line, brought to you by Night Babysitting. Just throw money at the children and watch them grow into strong, spoiled brats. Sprague and the Line, brought to you.
No bell for that one,
that's
huh?
No bell for that one, apparently. Sprague and the Line, brought to you by Dirt's Warm Beer, Sweaty Armpits, and Swamp Butt. I have not had a warm beer yet. I'm not drinking
today.
I don't
even know what that means. Like, that's how bad my picks are?
The Sweaty Armpits and Swamp Butt, that's real, though. It is real. Sprague and the Line, brought to you by Reynolds Defense Firm. After betting Sprague's picks, you need all the help you can get.
That's true.
Sprague and the Line, brought to you by Dirt's Fantasy Draft Picks. That's some 7-9 BS.
We Sprague the Line yesterday at the draft on you.
7-9 bull.
What's the over-under?
We set it at 8.
Of how many games I can win?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll take the over.
Yeah, you're going to for sure go under.
Let's see, a couple of more here. Sprague and the Line, brought to you by Stark's Vacuums. We suck, too. Sprague and Lime, brought to you by Forever 21, forever known as Sprague's Store.
You admit something one time and it sticks with you forever.
There you go. All right, who are we losing money on this weekend, Sprague?
Not much. We'll do some college football, but here's the beauty. Next week is officially the kickoff. I know the Beavers play Thursday. I'll bet that one.
We have a special announcement, too, for Sprague and Lime starting next Friday. to be just
stay, oh yeah, that's right.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, just, there's something kind of nice coming along.
I'll
with
leave
this
it
segment.
At that.
Outside of the crap picks I give you, I promise there's actually something good coming. But this week I'm gonna do three picks. So you mentioned we'll spread the line next Friday. We won't be able to do the Beaver game if we do Friday, so I'll do that one here. But let's start with the FCS game, North Dakota State.
Oh, thrilling.
And Charleston Southern.
Thrilling. Well, give me your hot takes on Charleston Southern.
They suck.
Okay.
And North Dakota State has been the power in FCS football.
All right.
This is a true degenerate pick here.
That is the hot take I was waiting for.
I'm not finding a spread, but I'll tell you right now, you take North Dakota State.
You're taking the Bison, huh?
I don't care if the Bison are favored by 33 points. Take that every single time. North Dakota State, monsters, especially at home. The second game we'll spread the line with, we'll kind of use a Pac-12 team. It's the team that kicks off the season on Friday, and that is California and Hawaii. I wish you'd stop distracting me by staring at gorgeous women. It's not easy.
I'm looking at you doing a radio segment.
No, you're not. California and Hawaii, which kicks off Friday.
Okay.
Cal right now, 22.5 point favorites to go on the island and win that game. I was looking at Hawaii the last couple of years. They don't fare well against Pac-12 teams not named Colorado. I like California with Webb Davis as the transfer. Hawaii sucks. I'm going to take the over. I think you bet California minus 22.5.
Wow. Okay, that's a big spread to start off the season.
I don't think there's going to be much defense played. Okay. Sonny Dykes offense.
You think
yes,
Davis
please.
Webb is a pretty seamless transition into that starting role?
Yeah, I called him Webb Davis. Yeah, I think Davis Webb, I think he's out to prove that he can be a really good prospect for the NFL this year. Give me California minus 22.5.
Okay.
And the final game is Thursday's kickoff, Oregon State, Minnesota. We'll do a lot of this previewing next week for this game, but I'll spray it right now. Minnesota, 7.5 point favorites in Minneapolis. Oregon State, I really like what they have offensively. A little bit of question marks on the offensive line.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like Harlow's going to play. I think he's going to redshirt. Minnesota's bringing back their quarterback. They have a new defensive coordinator this year. I like Clay's. I think he's a good head coach. Give me Oregon State
plus 7.5.
I think Minnesota wins by a touchdown.
Yeah, there it is.
I think Minnesota wins by a touchdown, but not by more than a touchdown.
I love it, baby.
Hey, now this is the beauty. Now we really need to keep track of my record this year. With football, we need to keep track. College, we'll keep track of pro. We'll do two separate ones for the season. So mark that down.
Okay, so mark it down. I won't count your North Dakota State pick. That's just for
S and giggles.
That's for shenanigans.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll allow you to get away with that one. But you are taking Cal to cover the spread Friday night down in Australia over Hawaii.
Yep.
And you are taking the Oregon State Beavers to cover the spread on the road at Minnesota. That to me, Sprague, that would be a great start to the season. I'm
with you.
Like I
don't think they're going to win.
I know some Oregon State fans will get tired of that conversation about, you know, quote unquote moral victories. But Minnesota's a solid program. They're on the brink, if not going to a bowl game, basically every single season in a tough Big Ten conference. And if you could go in with an extremely young roster still to this point, a quarterback starting his first game for the program, and Darrell Garrettson on the road at Minnesota, tough place to go in and play, and you only lose by a touchdown, then I'm on board with that.
Yeah, I have a hard time seeing Oregon State get that win. They can. It's not like Minnesota's light years ahead of them. By the way, I just emailed you the picks.
You did. I saw that.
But I think Gary Anderson, their offensive line is for sure going to be a question mark, but they've got good depth at running back. I think Ryan Nall's good. Darrell Garrettson's going to be light years ahead of anything they had last year. And wide receiver and tight end, wide receiver especially, they are stacked. So it's not like they shouldn't be scoring points this year. If they're not scoring points, somebody's not doing their damn job because they have really good skill position players. Defensively is the biggest question mark. Inexperience, Kevin Kloon coming in there and replacing Kalani Sitake, so you have a new scheme.
Yeah.
There's a transition period there. They're going against the experienced kid at Minnesota who, you know, Todd McShay thinks he could be a sleeper first-round quarterback. I think Minnesota's for sure going to have the home field advantage, obviously playing in Minnesota, but I think Oregon State's going to come out fighting, and I think they're going to keep it within a touchdown. I really do.
All right, Sprague and Line brought to you by Hot Women Everywhere, all out of Dirt's League. Sprague and Line brought to you
if
by...
If he was a pro golfer, he'd be snagging some of these.
Oh, yeah, that's a good profession, I'll tell you that much. Sprague and Line brought to you by Hood Co. Stop drinking beer by running too much. Sprague and Line brought to you by the Wienermobile. You wish you had a wiener, too.
By the way,
is that our second copyrighted song use of the day?
No, that one's not copyrighted. A listener pointing out a really good point.
What?
This very spring in line. I may have read the wrong spread.
I think you got more than 7.5. Somebody
texted
in.
It opens at 7.5. It's at 13 now.
It's been bet up to 13.
Yeah, please give me the Beavers minus 13. Yeah. Yes. I think Minnesota wins. Let me just get on the record for that. But now you give me 6 more points.
Oh, God.
Yes, please.
I'm surrounded by Beavers.
Yes, please.
I am surrounded by Beavers. Homer Sprague.
13 points?
In. Homer Sprague.
Do you think they could do that?
I'm with you. I like that. I like that a lot more than 7.5. A lot more confident.
Yeah, 7.5 is the risky one. Like a 10-point win, I could see that. 13, they're going to win by 2 touchdowns?
Yeah. Ben Maxwell just tweeted us, said, you guys really need a follow-up Monday segment on Sprague and Line. We might need to make that happen.
Yeah, like a rehash of bad I was.
Let's see how terrible this past weekend
was. Colin does where Colin was right.
Oh, the Walk of Shame is a great name for that segment, Swigard.
But what if I'm, like, successful?
Then we can still make fun of you, but we'll
patch you. Guys have the Walk of Shame.
Yeah, then we'll make fun of your picks, and then we'll walk the shame.
Okay. I'm down for that. That'd be a lot of fun.
I like that. Quick thought here at the Fan Text Line as well. Dirt just watched the Burbs last night for the first time after your recommendation. Thank you. You're welcome. That's what we do here. We help people. People helping people.
Like I get it. Oregon State was terrible last year. I like that I'm a homer, though, for going Oregon State plus 13.5.
Yeah, you're a homer. Get out of here. All right, let's close out the show. If you've run the Hood to Coast before, I'm sure a lot of our listeners have. My co-host needs some help. You got any advice for him? Let us know. 55305 Fan Text Line. We'll close out the show with some final thoughts and send you off into a beautiful Thursday afternoon next on 1080 The Fan. Well, since this is his last segment, it's a good way to send him off with his favorite Kanye West.
Can somebody get some ice water over here for Dirt?
I don't need any ice water, man. I'm doing fantastic. 248, welcome back in on a Thursday, live out at Pumpkin Ridge. Winco Foods Portland open at a great time. Isaac's coming up here top of the hour. He's ready to rock and roll. He's been walking around the course watching a little golf. It's been a fun show today. We will be live out here once again tomorrow. It will be Swigard and myself as Sprague will be out. And I asked the listeners for some feedback, or for some advice, I should say, because you're running the Hood to Coast this weekend, and you're a little nervous about it.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm nervous. It's not really a race.
No, I mean, look, first off, you're not going to win. Second off, in terms of the people that are on the team.
Do Kenyans run the Hood to Coast?
I don't, maybe.
I don't do a ton of like research.
that's pretty accurate. Yeah, I've never done the Hood to Coast. I wouldn't know if, like, teams are brought in to take it seriously and win for companies.
Oh, dear Lord.
It's a pretty laid-back scene, but you get the guy who weighs 110 pounds soaking wet, and he sprints the whole way.
That is so damn good. I love that drop.
Yeah, that's a good drop.
I don't do a ton of research.
Jojo, the circus monkey.
I don't know why I'm nervous.
No, don't be nervous. Like, in terms of the people that are on the team that you're running the Hood to Coast with, you're in the best shape of all of them.
I don't know about that.
It's a fact. Who's in better shape than you on that team?
Well, I can't name. Well, there's a couple people I've never met.
Don't name names. You're in the best shape. You're the only one that's been taking the training extremely seriously. You stopped drinking beer weeks ago. You've been eating like one peanut for lunch. You don't eat food anymore. You're going to be okay.
Yeah, but I have the hardest leg. That's the problem. It's 6.6 miles downhill, and then it's 7.77 miles flat/up. And then it's 6 miles up and down.
We got some advice here from some of our listeners. Intern Emma has chimed in with her advice for you. She said, Sprague, don't forget to eat. Bring a portable charger. She said she wouldn't have survived 5 miles uphill at 4 a.m. without music playing out loud. Good luck. We got an hour before you run. Drink 2 warm cups of pickle juice with a teaspoon of crushed Epsom salt mixed in.
Yeah, I got I don't know if I'm going to do that, but I bought these salt. They dissolve in your drinking water. You drink it the night before. It's supposed to be really good for
your
body.
Keeps you from cramping up.
Yeah, because that's why they recommend you bring potato chips for the snack so you can get a bunch of sodium. So I got these salt tablets I got to drink the day before. Basically.
Okay, eat immediately after finishing your leg. I said you can wait 5 to 15 minutes, but a meal quickly as soon as you are done.
Yeah, I've read about that. I got PB and honey sandwiches ready to go.
Okay, you just going to stockpile them in a backpack?
Yeah, basically. You got to eat an hour before you run, and then you cram some food in you right after. And I got to take advantage of the rest period. That's going to, I think, be the crucial part of this whole thing.
Okay, somebody said if you have to take a drug test on Monday, stay out of other people's vans. You will get hotboxed.
All right. I can't wait for that one.
Somebody said, why don't you just drive the Hood to Coast? Don't be a moron.
Sometimes you got to push yourself a little
That's bit. That's how I tend to feel, man. Somebody wants you to Fresh Prince of Bel Air it. Just get out of the finish line.
Oh, I remember that episode. Yeah, and he came out of the bushes, right?
Yeah, just drop off at the
finish line. Acted like he did the whole thing.
Check it out, man. You won.
Look, my motivation is simply booze at Seaside. That's kind of my whole thinking in this thing. I have to have music. I'm probably going to violate the rules to listen to music, but I'm going to do what it takes. I'm going to get through this thing.
Yeah, we're praying for you, Sprager.
I just worry about the knee. I've had knee surgery before. I had a bum foot. I got stung on my other foot last weekend.
You are old.
I know. I'm breaking down.
You're breaking down, man.
I mean, I'm not Swigard old.
Enough of this move around nonsense. Yeah, Swag is another year older today. That's how we started the show, by singing him happy birthday. Swigard is the prime young age of 45. How does it feel so far, Swag?
Well, a lot like 44.
Don't you love when people always ask that question?
Yeah.
How does it feel? I don't know.
Do you feel a year older?
Do you feel any different today, Jason?
No. Can't say that I do.
Not at all.
So,
I'm glad you're not wearing diapers yet. That's good news.
Now, sounds like the dirt, though, should be out there. What's going on out there? I'm a little nervous about tomorrow. Can you powder up or something before the show tomorrow?
You bring the gold bond, buddy. Bring the gold bond.
Well, it was disturbing that Rob came here and it was like, yeah, you got to powder up. And I was like, yeah, I powder in lotion. And Dirt's like, yeah, I didn't do anything. I was like, oh, okay, great.
Just kind of freeballing him.
He did not realize that it was going to be 95 degrees today.
Nope, I did not. Tomorrow's going to be even hotter. So, yeah, just brace yourself, Swagger. But yeah, happy birthday. You got any big birthday plans tonight, Swag?
We're just going over to Mom's. Mom's having Lady Swag and I over for a quiet birthday dinner.
Sounds lovely.
Real rousing party, I bet.
Well, we had a good time.
You guys taking shots together?
No, there will be several bottles of really good red wine consumed tonight. That's for sure. You missed, Sprague, it's too bad you had to duck out early. You missed the fun part last night.
Yeah, we had a good time, and I do want to say another thank you to the fine folks at the Independent Sports Bar and Grill. Damian and his crew over there did a great job taking care of us last night for our third annual fantasy football draft. Also, Ron Tonkin Chevrolet, they were an awesome sponsor, and all the wonderful listeners that showed up. We had an absolute blast. Things were kind of thrown together at the last minute this year a little bit, a few wrinkles in the planning process, but it turned out to be great. It was a huge success. Thanks again to the listeners, to Ron Tonkin Chevrolet, and to the Independent Sports Bar and Grill.
Yeah, it was a great time. I thought it was a perfect setup. Most listeners that I talked to loved it. Can't wait for next year. It's going to be bigger and better next year, but thank you to the Independent and Ron Tonkin Chevrolet. And you know what? I'm going to stand by my pick one more time. Roberto Aguayo, the kicker for the Bucks. I'm telling you, watch this kid. He's going to be a fantasy stud this year.
Somebody said, take vodka shots before each leg. You'll be fine.
Really?
Spruce it up a little bit, you know?
I don't know, man.
Also, sounds like Jason's going to have a big game of Scrabble plan tonight. You getting your Scrabble on tonight, Swag?
No Scrabble. Maybe a little Cards Against Humanity, but no Scrabble.
Oh, okay.
Maybe
like
some
it.
Shots of Metamucil.
That wasn't me, Swag. That was him.
What? He's a year older. You got to do that, right?
You got to poke and prod.
Come on.
Good stuff today. If you missed it, Kerry Agers joined us for his weekly hit. We talked a lot of things Northwest sports. And also, Brad Evans of Yahoo talked some fantasy football. Great stuff from him if you're getting ready for your fantasy football draft. Find both of those, Les Schwab Tires Podcast, 1080thefan.com. We'll also tweet them out at Dirt and Sprague on Twitter. Give us a follow. We will follow you back. That'll do it for us today, folks. Thanks for being a part of our Thursday. Good luck this weekend, man.
Thanks, buddy. I'm going to need it.
I hope you survive. I don't like doing solo shows.
Me too.
All right, we'll talk to you Monday. Swag and I will be back out here tomorrow at noon. Winco Foods Portland Open at Pumpkin Ridge. Number one is next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.